Our gospel reading this morning is from the 14th chapter of John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So fear is a funny thing, isn't it? Fear can keep us from doing something that we want to do. For several summers a few years ago, our oldest son, Michael, competed in drum corps, where he traveled all over the country and did kind of marching band shows every night. He would have shows and competitions all throughout the summer, and we tried to get to as many as possible. But I remember one time when I was sitting in the stands at a football field getting ready to watch one of the shows. The stands were filling up, and I couldn't help but overhear a conversation between a very frightened boy, who was about 9 or 10, and his exasperated father. You see, the father was trying to convince the son that the best seats for a drum corps show was higher up in the bleachers, so that you could see all the formations on the field. Well, at that point, the son could care less about seeing anything. All he was concerned about was that the railing he was holding on to for dear life wasn't going to move. Apparently, this young boy was deathly afraid of heights, and there was no convincing him to move away from that spot. So as the show started, I lost track of what was going on with the two of them. But a little while into the competition, I looked over and I noticed that the boy had not moved. He was calmly and contentedly, as much as he could be, holding on to that railing and not even looking in the direction of the show. His dad was sitting several rows up watching the competition and periodically checking in with his son, making sure that he was okay. He would yell down to him and ask if he wanted to move up or down. And the answer was always, "Nope, I'm fine." Fear. We are all afraid of something. Some of us may have those fears that we hear about a lot. You know, fear of heights, fear of small places, fear of mice, or more. But some of our fears might be far-reaching. We may be afraid of other things, situations that make us fearful. A loved one who is deteriorating, an uncertain future, our economic status, or maybe war and disease, being alone or more. We may be fearful because we have no control over what's going to happen. Fear has this way of making its way into our life and wreaking havoc. Our gospel reading this morning is a section of Jesus' final instructions to his disciples. They are all gathered together to celebrate the Passover, and I imagine that emotions were high that night. Excitement and confusion, wonder, and even fear. You see, Jesus had been doing and saying odd things all throughout his ministry, but the things he was saying this evening very clearly pointed to his departure. He would be leaving them. And I imagine that their minds were racing, wondering what they would do now, wondering where Jesus was going and why they couldn't go with him. Fear of the unknown, fear of being alone, fear of facing the future without Jesus guiding them. And Jesus' words to the disciples are comforting, but they're kind of confusing. First, he tells them, I will ask the Father, and the Father will send you another advocate to be with you forever. You see, they won't be alone. They will have this advocate, someone who will lead them, guide them, empower them, and more. The promise of going, not having to go it alone was encouraging, I'm sure. But I imagine these disciples were wondering how this advocate, this consoler, would live in them. Jesus continues to reassure the disciples again that he will not leave them alone. He will not orphan them. When they can no longer see him, they will be in him and he will be in them. Can't you just picture the faces of these disciples as Jesus is speaking? Some of them were probably confused. They didn't quite get what Jesus was talking about, how he would be leaving, how he would send an advocate, how he would still be in them. It was not a real clear and straightforward message. But that wasn't completely unusual coming from Jesus. I imagine that in the days ahead, these disciples would more than likely cling to these words, waiting for the promised advocate, waiting for the time when they wouldn't feel so alone and lost. So are these somewhat comforting and confusing words of Jesus for us as well? Do we too receive the promise that we will never be alone or orphaned? That we have an advocate? That we are one with Jesus? I don't know about you, but when I've been alone and afraid in my life, it's great to have an advocate. The summer before my sixth grade year, we moved to a town where my mom grew up, where my grandparents were still living. And I can say, as an incoming sixth grader, I was not that thrilled about starting a new school, and I was pretty afraid. My grandparents lived about a half a block from the school, so on that first morning, I started walking to school. I went part of the way, and I turned back. I could see the kids on the playground, and I was scared to meet them. I figured it wouldn't be that big of a deal to start on day two, right? Well, I began walking a second time to the school, and I turned back again, and it was in that point that I really considered that maybe a fifth grade education was all that I needed. But I kept walking forward and back and forward and back until I finally got to the school. I made it to the playground. And as I walked to the playground to the school building, I felt very alone. I didn't know anyone, and no one really wanted to talk to me. So I got to the school building, and I kind of sat down outside waiting for the time when we could go in the building. And I heard a friendly voice say, "Hi, are you new? My name's Stacy." I was so relieved to have someone who wanted to talk to me. We started talking and then laughing, and then Stacy told me to not worry, that she would show me around. She would introduce me to people, and she would help me to figure out what it meant to be a sixth grader in that school. She quickly became a good friend who was there when I needed her. She took me under her wing and guided me, and I was no longer alone. I had an advocate. There are going to be times in our journey of faith that we are going to be just as confused and frightened as I imagine the disciples were. We may wonder where God is. We may wonder how we're going to continue on our own. We may wonder why we feel so alone. Yet we too have been given an advocate. We've been given the Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us, to comfort us, to empower us, and more. We are not alone. The Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily take away our fears or our worries, but strengthens us for the journey through the things that try to bring us down. We can rest in the fact that the Holy Spirit is always there being our advocate. The Holy Spirit is God living in us. So it would be wonderful if I could stand up here today and wave a magic wand and take away all our fears and hardships and stress, but I can't. Fear and hardship are part of this world that we live in. Yet when we know that we don't face these obstacles alone, we can continue to walk this journey on which God has placed us. We have a choice. We can choose to give in to our fears, our feelings of being alone, the tough times we face, and we can live in fear and afraid to step out in faith to share the love of God with others. Or we can lean on the Holy Spirit in all that we do, knowing that we are not alone, knowing that it is God who is in charge, and that knowing that God is walking with us in all times of our lives. And God is guiding us and inviting us to live into the abundant life of faith that God desires for each and every one of us. So it is a gift that we had too have been given an advocate, that we are loved by a love that never leaves us, that because that advocate lives in us, we too are empowered to be someone else's advocate. I want to point out something to you in your bulletin. On the back of your worship folder, on the very bottom on page 4, it says May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And each week we're going to have these little kind of blurbs in here that go along with one of the readings. And this morning's I thought I really liked. It said, Jesus promised to never leave us orphaned, but will send the Holy Spirit. Mental health challenges are lonely, and even though we may not feel it, God promises to be with us. In the darkest moments of our own mental health can be shaken, but if in those moments we can strengthen our faith, friendships, and sense of community, it may be easier to hold on to the idea that God hugs us in the most challenging moments by giving us our people to hold us strong and help us build resilience to strengthen our emotional health. So yes, the Holy Spirit has been given to us and lives in us as an advocate and walks with us through those dark days. But we have been called and empowered and sent to be a support and advocate for those we love in our lives. And for all of that, we can give thanks. Amen.